Hey everybody, and welcome to the podcast episode 176.
You're listening to a feed of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org.
Fantastic. You'll have to excuse my lovely wife. She's been somewhat distracted by a new game she discovered on her phone.
I was at a youth group tonight, and after making several people lose the game, including people who just listened to this story, somebody introduced me to a game called Alchemy, and you get elements like fire, water, earth, and air, and then you have to make elements from it. There's 380 you can make.
So you took a fire element and added it to a chicken element, and ended up with
fried chicken.
Fried chicken, exactly.
And I added a chicken to a flu and it made avian flu.
Oh, dear. Not good. Anyway, welcome on and all. This is the Budcast episode 176. Thank you very much indeed for coming along and joining wherever or however you are listening. That track you just heard was me, not me as in me, the band, and a track called Naked.
As in me that we played with Irk.
Yes. Yes, it was Irk that actually provided this track for us. Me are from Melbourne in Australia, and they classify themselves as purveyors of theatrical rock, combining classical piano, vocal harmonies, choirs, groove, and soaring guitars. And I couldn't help but pick up just a little bit of Justin, I've forgotten his surname, The Darkness.
Yes, yes, I can.
What's
his
surname? Come on. Hawkins. Justin Hawkins? I can't remember. Anyway, yeah, the lead singer from The Darkness. But no, that was a fantastic track. If you want to find out more about me, the band, you can go to meband.com. What do you think of that?
I liked it. It was different to their other me track.
Yes, the one we played a couple of shows ago was a bit more... I can't describe it. Very, very different. This was probably a little bit harder, I would have said.
I liked it, though.
It was good.
But now you've said The Darkness, I can't get The Darkness out of my head.
Yeah, a bit like when everybody lost the game because of you earlier on.
Look, it was their fault, but I'm quite impressed because I actually made a church minister lose the game times two. And a church secretary who's now completely lost the plot.
Did any of them understand the concept of the game?
Some of them. I also tried to explain the concept of Schrodinger's cat.
Oh, let's move straight on from that. So yes, as I said, welcome to everybody, one and all, wherever and how are you are listening. Whether you're listening on the podcast, from the website, or live in the chat room, or from this week, live on Butterflies Radio at butterfliesradio.com.
Hello.
You may remember we were being replayed on Butterflies Radio quite some time ago, but they made the decision to drop the replay of podcasts due to the amount of time it was taking to reschedule and download and all the rest of it, which I totally understand. But they said they want to get back into the podcasting play. But they said the best way of doing that was to restream us live. So you guys out there on Butterflies Radio are listening to us as we broadcast right this very minute.
So warts and all and what's
from our
all.
Studio here in South Yorkshire in the north of England. So very welcome you are. If you're not already doing so, please do come along to the chat room at thebugcast.org/live and join in with all the people that are in there at the moment. And we will be speaking to some of those guys in a minute just to find out who we've actually got in there. In the meantime, we have some music. Darling, can you tell us who our next track is, please?
Yes, the next track is one of my choices and it is Fall Walk Run with You've Got A Way.
They say it ain't easy, but it's harder when there's two. Oh, no.
Good evening, my fellow citizens.
Hi, this is Mark, owner of Butterflies Radio. Be sure to join me live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. EST for Twitter Tuesday Live. Give us a mention on Twitter, and I'll give you a mention on the air. That's every Tuesday, 8 p.m. EST, right here at ButterfliesRadio.com. See you then.
Cracking pair of songs there. That was Rehearsed Living with his track Hurdles. Rehearsed Living is a chap by the name of Steve Jones, who is the singer, songwriter, keyboards, drums, recording and chief tea maker. Simon Jones on bass and Ruth Davis, who also does additional keyboards. They're a band they formed in late 2010 and based out of Sheffield, currently unsigned. The name Rehearsed Living was chosen by Stephen, and it's a kind of Groundhog Day reference, the fact that we're practicing living the same day again and again through routine, work, etc., where life becomes more of a rehearsal, as spontaneity is replaced by necessity. Ooh, very nice. If you want to find out more about Rehearsed Living, you can go to their MySpace, myspace.com/rehearsedliving. This track, along with many others, is available for download on their SoundCloud page.
Mm-hmm.
We'll put a link to that in the show notes. What did you think of that?
I liked that. And
that was good,
wasn't
it?
Funny how I remembered Rehearsed Living because of their little slip of paper that says Rehearsed Living.
That's right. You said that when I was when I mentioned who we were going to be playing.
So it just shows that gimmicks sometimes work.
Indeed, yes. Yes, for those that don't know what we're talking about, if you head along to one or more of their websites, they just have the words Rehearsed Living on a torn piece of paper as their like primary logo.
Yeah.
So, yeah, excellent stuff. Before that?
Yes, it was Fall Walk Run with You've Got A Way. I found them on Jamendo recently. They're from Wolverhampton in the UK. They're an acoustic indie duo comprising of Stuart Eves and Lawrence Harvey. They formed only in January this year with a debut 5-track EP called Throwing It All Away, which was recorded in their home studio. And I liked it because it had a really nice acoustic feel to it, really nice mellow vocals. And it's a sort of music that you could happily listen to in the background. Mm. And the lyrics sort of drew me in as well. And I was also very taken by the band name, and I liked the artwork that accompanied their site and the EP cover because it was like hand-drawing-y type thing, and that really appealed to me.
Yes.
And you can find out more about them by going to fallwalkrun.com, which means that because it was Jamendo, Doris can have a play.
Oh, and I didn't put the link into the channel.
Well, sack me.
yes. I enjoyed that. That was a really good good track. Yeah, you may have noticed we're doing something slightly different this week as a test to see if it's going to work, in that Caroline is going to choose half the songs, I'll be choosing half the songs, and we will be listening to each other's songs for the first time during the show so we can react on what we heard. So let us know what you think of that. My darling, would you please tell us who is in the chat room this evening? It is absolutely, utterly heaving in there at the moment.
Yeah, and I like it. We have you and me. We've got Andreas. We've got BF Radio, which I'm assuming is Butterflies Radio.
Yes, I believe that's Mark. Thank you, Mark. Hi, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, Chris from Canada. John, the nice guy. Jorvik Kevi, or Kevi. Kevi. Lainey left. Lainey didn't leave. Somebody called left. He's asked Lainey. Maloki, Meow, and Popey. And Popey's not greyed out, so he may actually be awake.
He may be there. Let me poke him. Me pokes Popey. See if he responds. Kevi, by the way, is the host and producer of the Tux Jam podcast, which I believe we mentioned in the show a few weeks back. And it's his first time in the chat room, I do believe, as well. So, welcome. So, yeah, it's fantastic. It's good to see such a large number of people in the chat room. And I think it might be partially Butterflies Radio. Although, actually, no, I think only one person from Butterflies is actually in the chat room at the moment. But anyway, who cares? It's fantastic to see you here. Right. We do have a number of things to talk about this week, and I've completely and totally lost my notes.
We've got to include Amy's little bit of news.
Oh, absolutely. I'm going to do that one. Well, when I got home this evening, Caroline and the kids arrived at home shortly after I did. And Caroline went straight out to her youth group, and I put the kids to bed. And as we were deciding what stories to read, Amy looked at me, my elder daughter, and said, "I've got a boyfriend." I said, "Really?" And she said, "Yeah." And I said, "Who is it?" And she said, "It's Bobby." I just knew it was going to be Bobby because she doesn't stop talking about Bobby. And then she said to me, "He asked me." And I said, "What did he say?" And she said, "He said, would you like to be my girlfriend?" And I said, "Yes." And she did this little squee, wavy hands thing. I thought was so cute. And the first thing I did after giving them a cuddle and saying goodnight and going downstairs was post on Twitter and Facebook and Google Plus about it. To which I've had loads of responses saying, "It's all downhill from here. Now's the time to start the vetting," and all the other things you'd expect about that. But no, she seems so happy about it. "Now, I've got a boyfriend. I've got a boyfriend." Cara, on the other hand, absolutely gutted because she doesn't have one. And she said, please don't keep talking about it. I might cry again.
Oh, she's she tired, didn't. Though. Oh, she is tired.
Yeah, she was very tired this evening.
The thing is, though, Amy had a little boy called Callum that she plays with as well. And she was a little heartbroken earlier on in the week because he didn't want to play with her.
Yeah.
And then he wanted to play with her. So she didn't want to play with him today because she had Bobby. But I did try and say to her, don't be surprised on Monday if it's all changed. Because boys have short-term memories.
With regard to Bobby. Yes. Well, hopefully.
It's not time to get a hat yet.
No. No, definitely not. But I would imagine the time will come not that far away when she'll be the one turning over the boys. No, let me rephrase that. Going through the boyfriends. Sorry, that was a bad image. The one going through the boyfriends and flitting from boy to boy. She's going to be an absolute heartbreaker. And I don't think I'm ready for that yet. Oh, dear. Everybody keeps saying to me, you know, you're going to have to get the boys in and have a chat with them and have the man-to-man talk and make sure they're suitable for your... She's five. Yeah. We're not quite ready for that yet, are we? But John the Nice Guy just said in the chat room, you've got the shotgun and are ready to go kill him. Well, no, not really. Like I said, she's five. Give her a chance. If he starts treating her badly, then yes, I might think about it. But I don't know. Anywho, should we have some more music? I think we should do. And this is one of your tracks, sweetheart.
Yes, this is track four.
Four.
See, it's confusing me. This is a track from a band called The Shining Skulls, and the track is called For Everyone.
Stop. Hi, my name's Rowley, and when I'm wandering the streets of London aimlessly, I love to listen to the podcast. Ooh, a rioter.
Just how beautiful was that?
I liked that one.
That was Kutch with a track called Unhaiku. Now, there are two female artists that we've played of recent days that really do raise the hairs on the back of my neck. One of them is Marie Craven. The other is Christabel from Hungry Lucy. But anyway, yes, Kutch are Marie Craven, otherwise known as Pixie Guts, who is from Australia, and Paul Foster, otherwise known as Dementio 13, who is from Wales. That track was taken from their new EP, Beyond Transgression, which is available from kutch.bandcamp.com. When you're spelling that C-W-T-C-H. Apparently it is the Welsh word for cuddle. They're a unique mix of melodic folk-tinged electro, post-rock and trip-hop. There's a mouthful, with impressionistic lyrics and themes. Love that track so much. I mentioned the last time we played Kutch, of how much I enjoyed Marie Craven's collaboration with Max Waves, which we played a few weeks prior to that, and how the last two tracks were so dissimilar. But this one was more like the Max Waves one in terms of, what's the word you used last week? Ethereal feel to it. But yeah, I really enjoyed that. Love that track. Love Kutch. Do go and get their stuff. It's available for free. Get it, download it, tell your friends. That's what it's all about.
Yes. So you want to know about my track, don't you?
I do, because I love that.
Yes.
Nice, amazing bit. That bass line was amazing. Really nice bit of funk. And you know I like funk.
Yes. Well, that was the Shining Skulls.
No, it wasn't.
Goals. It was sourced from Cyber PR. It's founded by Benjamin Josiah Trimp, who is a producer and multi-instrumentalist, Andrew Bailey, who's a guitarist and singer, and it was formed in late 2008. They were then joined by Jordan Cassidy as bassist and singer, and they then went through three drummers. Now, they likened themselves to a different band, I think it was Led Zeppelin, but said that none of their drummers had died in 2 years before settling on Keith Greer in the fall of 2010. The name is actually derived from a breathing technique used in yoga, which is supposed to make your head buzz while you're doing it, hence the name.
Okay, I get that. I kind of get that.
I liked it because of the hard rock edge to it. I liked the branding idea as well, the name, because they call their fans the Skullings, and they send their updates from Skullland. So I love the whole Skull theme. And the review suggests that whilst their music that you listen to recorded is good, their 40 are their live gigs. They're from Seattle in Washington.
Yes, Washington State.
And you can find out more by going to theshiningskulls.com.
Awesome. Wasn't there an artist we played a short while ago where everything was based around zebras?
Don't know about that one.
Okay. I'm sure that their mascot was a zebra, and every bit of album art they produced had zebras on it and stuff. I can't remember. Anyway, fantastic. Just want to say another thank you to everybody in the chat room. It is so, so buzzy in there this evening. There's a lot of activity going on. If you're not in there, you are seriously missing out. What are you laughing at? And can you please put that alchemy thing down?
Sorry, I just made a corpse. Added fire to man.
And that was before you made a zombie. And then you made the Twilight Saga.
I've made Mario, Yoshi and One Up.
One Up?
One Up is like the green mushroom that gives you an extra life. I wonder if One Up on a corpse would give you an extra life.
Try it. Later.
Can I just blame the offspring of Left for this, because they're the one that told me about this game?
Ah, so Left, have a word with your offspring. I will be having words on Sunday.
That's before you start playing this game, because you've got 380 elements to find. I found 60 within about...
Does it keep a track of which ones you've found?
Yes.
So you don't have to find them again?
You may need to use them to be able to find them.
So there is an end to this game, that's what I'm getting at.
Yes, once you get 380 elements, you've end.
Oh, thank you. Just hurry up and do it, will you? I want my wife back. Anyway, it was inevitable that we were going to talk about basically what this weekend marks. Not going to go into the political side of this by any stretch, but I just wanted to highlight some memories of what happened 10 years ago on Sunday. 10 years ago, of course, Sunday is the 10-year anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks in New York, Pennsylvania, and somewhere else. I apologize. But I just wanted to just maybe share, you know, in the chat room, for those that are listening, if you want to email in and share your thoughts with us. And also Caroline, because you had quite a scare on that morning, didn't you?
The September 11th?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, it's not the morning. Oh, it was the morning. No, it was our lunchtime. I came back from lunch.
Oh, you're right. Sorry, it was lunchtime, yes.
Yes. I was actually working in London at the time, in Hammersmith. Hammersmith.
It was Hammersmith you were working at.
12th floor of a 13th floor building. I'd gone for lunch, came back, and as I came back into the foyer, there was a big widescreen TV and people were watching it.
A widescreen television that was normally there?
Yes.
Yeah.
and it showed you one of the first players hitting, and my first thought was, oh, what a horrible accident. And I had arrived at the time when the second plane had just come in, and it was an instant switch of, that wasn't an accident. Mm. And at the time, because we were a bit geeky, I used to be able to keep in touch with Dave via Telnet.
It was on IRC, wasn't it?
On IRC, running, yes.
IRC.
And now everybody at work was trying to get information about what was happening, and all the news websites were completely choked. But I was getting all the information from IRC and passing it on to people. Mm. And it got to the point where, at the time, Canary Wharf was they were a possible target, or
yes,
they
I
thought
heard that,
it could be
yeah.
a target. So we were allowed to go home early because of the panic, making transport quite difficult. So I managed to get back to Dave okay, but it was quite, I don't know, tense.
Mm.
See, out on about doing the journey, it was actually quite calm, but the whole atmosphere was tense, and lots of people were like looking over, looking at the planes and whatnot. And it's just, and then we had two friends over there, Mark and Vicky.
Yes, they were actually staying in their hotel a couple of blocks down from from the towers.
But they were quite safe because they were evacuated to the basement, which is quite good. Avis's other half,
yeah, Roger. My
didn't
uncle.
We hear from him for a little while. So it's quite a tense thing, but it's weird because there's loads of shows on at the moment talking about what happened, and there's been a few little revelations that made me think of things differently, because George Bush got completely slated because around the time of September 11th that morning, he had gone to a school and he was supposed to be reading with some primary school kids. And everyone took the mickey out of him because he had the book
upside down. Yeah.
But watching a show the other day there, that was seconds after he was told
you could see
what was happening.
You could see he on his face. He wasn't actually looking anywhere in particular. He was trying to compute what he'd just been told.
And I admire him for a way, because he'd got given the information, he processed it, he gave them a nod, and he chose to continue what he was doing, because
which
it was
I think
only
was
a few minutes.
Totally the right decision to make.
And then the reporter spoilt it by, during the press conference, was supposed to be about the school thing, shouting out, what do you think about these two planes that have hit the World Trade Center? And I could see the anger in George Bush's eyes then.
To
and
which
I
he
felt
responded.
It. I can't remember, was it?
We'll talk about it after.
Talk about it after.
Yeah.
But that just really annoyed me. Mm. But also, the other day that, I think it was this morning, the programme this morning, not this morning.
It's a daytime television show here in the UK.
We don't normally watch it, and it was sort of on in the background.
You watch it every day. What
no,
are you
I
talking
do not.
About? Yes, you do.
I don't.
Oh, like you don't watch Jeremy Kyle?
I watch Jeremy Kyle with you. I don't watch it any other time. Ha. But it was, they were interviewing somebody who'd survived 9/11. And a bit of information came out, which was quite interesting. A lot of people said, why did people jump from the windows and why didn't people try to get to the roof? And apparently, the roof access was blocked for fear of suicide jumpers.
Hmm.
Nobody had ever considered that people may need to have gone to the roof for another reason. I mean, going to the roof, they were on about, oh, that was it. It was a bloke who was in a small plane who'd witnessed it. And he was criticised for not trying to save people by going near the roof of the building and getting people off.
In a plane?
Yeah, it was stupid. It was, how would you get your plane close enough because of the heat and the... Plus, what that roof would have been like.
Right, if you don't mind, I'm going to move away from that topic of conversation, because it's going to be quite harsh for some people that might be listening. In the chat room, Kevy's was saying that he was away with his school's under 16 football team when he was told, and he thought somebody was winding him up. John the Nice Guy said that he was in the car coming back from a job in London, got a phone call from one of his directors telling him what was going on. Kevy also said that his aunt and uncle were on the observation deck of Tower 1 the week before, and they were due to be there on that day. And in fact, if I'm not mistaken, weren't Mark and Vicky supposed to be going up the tower that day as well?
Yes. That was one of their places they were going to visit.
Yeah.
Kevy also said it sickens me that Hollywood are making so much money about it, films or TV series.
That's a tough one.
I don't mind the documentary style things where people reflect on it. I don't like them trying to glamorise it. Was it Nicolas Cage has been in a film based on 9/11? Mm-hmm. And it annoyed me because we watched part of it and then it was like they're supposed to be in the foyer after it and it... They tried to... I can understand them trying to explain what had happened, but they were trying to make it fancier than what it should be. And the way they did it, it was... Yeah. Yes. And it's not something that needs dramatising. We watched a made-for-TV movie, which is based on the plane. Flight...
Was it United 93?
United 93. That was interesting because it wasn't dramatised. It was very low-key, but it was trying to give a hint of what might have happened. Didn't mind that. But trying to make it more, ooh, isn't this a good act? It's not a subject to enjoy, as it were.
No, not at all. When I found out, I was at work and I had a phone call from one of the salespeople upstairs. I managed the ground floor of our building at the time and had a phone call from upstairs saying, have you heard about the accident in America? And I said, no, what accident? And they said that an aeroplane had crashed. And I tried looking on BBC News, couldn't get there. Tried Fox News, couldn't get there. Tried CNN, couldn't get there. And then I remembered that one of our security guards actually stashed a television in one of the side cupboards for when they're doing the overnight shift. So I set it up in our open dispatch area on the ground floor. And it was then that we kind of realised that all the channels were showing this coverage. And like you, Caroline, I thought to myself, what a tragic accident this is. And then events unfolded even further and suddenly realised it wasn't an accident after all. And I have to say, I don't think anybody got any work done that afternoon at all. We were too busy watching telly or checking the internet. Now, this is obviously before the likes of Twitter and Facebook. So the whole internet... phenomenon of information sharing wasn't as prolific as it is now. I'm just trying to imagine what it would have been like had things like social networking and the like been more prolific than it was then. But it's really, really scary. So anybody, you're more than welcome to drop us a line and let us know your thoughts. If you don't want us to read out your comments and thoughts on the air, then we will not do so. But we might pick out some selective ones to cover off next week. Drop us an email, feedback@thebugcast.org.
Aye.
Right. We're going to have some more music.
Right, yes. Oh, it's me again.
It is you again.
This is going to take a bit of getting used to. Right. We're going to have something a bit different now. It's called The Wandering Monks with The Wandering Monks. And... it's a bit of hip-hop and rap.
Don't normally do hip-hop, do we?
No.
No.
The next track contains language or subject matter that may offend sensitive ears. Listener section is advised.
Do you understand any word that you said?
No.
Me either.
Monks wander as a protest to living for the industry. The same could be said of the one linguistry. And maybe with MCAD in the light of day, we could find a way to rhyme our way to divinity. Yeah, cause we're approaching this hip-hop religiously. Our words become a symphony and make you have epiphany. So these lyricists turn pro at exposing corruption. The whole world should know how it functions. Yeah.
We go our own way when we shine the light. We go our own way cause we know it's right. Blessings be for the people in the good fight. Hold on, cause it's gonna be
using the political and spiritual, melodic to the lyrical, explicit and satirical, but utterly sincere for you. We give it away like the Chili Peppers did, and the Funky Monks are here to repeal the deficit. Yeah,
it could be good if the people would come together, organize the streets in the hood. It's not a ghetto thing, yo, we're not gangsters. Those are devils fronting Wall Street banksters.
And
endless westernized lifestyles blurring up our vision to make us settle for some whack permanent position.
I don't wanna stay discouraged with the system.
I concur, I wanna stray from the herd and play with words for a living.
Like this time, my rhyme will be divine, cause it's coming from the heart and not the mind. Watch the kundalini climb up my spine, and I know for a fact it's still beautiful to be black.
And I'm ashamed of the color of the people at the top, but I don't deny my roots or try to be what I am not. I got past the self-hate, call it paradox. I wanna thwart Eurocentric hierarchy till it drops.
Yeah, that's hella peace, son. Word is bone, it's a revolution, and you know what side I'm on. I don't give a fuck if you white, long as you down to fight. As wandering monks, we must shine light.
Analyzing our surroundings like postmodernist philosophers, assessing what to do until the depletion of the aquifers. Never burying our heads in the sand, fully aware, but without a shred of fear, fear of death or the man.
So we speak our voice on what we know is not right in this life.
Monks wander as a protest to living for the industry. The same could be said of the one linguistry. And maybe with MCAD in the light of day, we can find a way to rhyme our way to divinity.
Hi, I'm Dave Thackeray from the European Podcast Award, and I want you. I want you to nominate your show for the European Podcast Award 2011. We're looking for winners in the categories of personality, non-profit, business, and professional. If you're really good, you might end up being crowned king or queen of European podcasting. The clock's ticking, so get nominating the best shows on our website at european-podcast-award.eu. Thank you, and good luck.
This morning I woke, restless and heady, with blood pulsing fierce in the vein. There's light on a line this morning and maybe forever. I move with regard for the signs. You know I've searched my heart to prove there's better ways to push and pull. Hey, whatever gets you through these days. Somewhere to the east, the sun is stirring, starting to light up the sky. And I'm lying here reliving the last few days, cause I missed most of them the first time. You know I've searched my heart to prove there's better ways to push and pull. Hey, whatever gets you through these days. Did I disappoint you? Leave a bad taste in your mouth. I thought that we could, I thought that we would, I was mistaken. No, I've searched my heart to prove there's better ways to push and pull. Hey, whatever gets you through these days. You know I've searched my heart to prove there's better ways to push and pull. Hey, whatever gets you through these days.
That was Robin Gray with These Days. Really, really nice track, I thought. A little bit of ukulele, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. he says, in a small white room with a blue door tucked away in a leafy corner of Hackney, Robin makes music. Inspired by the timeless world work of Bob Dylan, Leonard Cohen and Annie DeFranco, amongst many others, he colours in his songs about love and life with guitar, banjo, ukulele, mandolin, piano, double bass, organ, percussion toys and any other instruments he can afford and fit into his little studio. Which I think is fantastic. That track, called These Days, was taken from Robin Gray's album Only the Missile and is available for download for free on Jamendo. If you want to find out more about Robin Gray, robingray.com. He's from London, by the way.
Cool.
What do you think?
I liked it.
Mm. I thought that was good.
Quite mellow.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure what I was looking for when I was picking that track out. It just, the rawness of it and the fact that it was kind of ukulele based is why I chose it. Something mm-hmm. different.
Yeah. So I chose The Wandering Monks because I figured we don't ever play hip hop or rap.
No, we don't.
Unless it's comedy style tracks. So I thought it was a bit different. And I listened to most of it and didn't realise the little swear word. Which
That's all right. We put the warning in, so that's not a problem.
But the general message was quite good because they tend to draw inspiration from the long tradition of protest music in the ilk of Bob Marley, Public Enemy, Rage Against the Machine, and that type of thing. There is actually a 10-year age gap between the two people.
Really?
Yep, those two people are rapper and producer Muck AD and his MC partner Linguistory, and they formed in 2009. They're from Arvado in Colorado, and that was sourced from Cyber PR. So Doris doesn't get busy with that track.
No, she doesn't. You said about, that was a great track, by the way. I enjoyed the cleanness of the track. Not of the lyrics, obviously. They weren't very clean.
There was one word and it was relevant.
But is it fair for me to say that I think the majority of rap music is protest or political? Because I'm pretty sure that of the few rap songs that we have, or hip-hop songs we've played in the past, I'm pretty sure the majority of those have been protest-based.
I suppose so.
Hmm, interesting one. So, yeah.
But then again, Will Smith didn't do a protest story, did he? Oh, he did actually, really. If you think about Last Prince of Bel-Air, that was sort of a protest for what was happening to him.
Darling, that was a mythical, not mythical, a non-existent fictional character. That's the word I'm looking for. Fictional character. And his rapping, if you can call it that, was very twee.
I know the word.
No, please don't. please don't.
I suppose we haven't got time now to do any more talking, have we?
It depends what it is and how long it's going to go on for.
Not long.
What is it? What?
I was just about to say about, it was in the news recently about, there's a reality TV show called Tantrums and Tiaras, and it's all about the beauty pageant industry in America. And it showed you a woman whose daughter, who was 3 years old, looked quite a lot like Cara actually before she was done up. And her party piece was to dress like Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman. Complete with thigh-high F-me boots, little skirt, thingy top. It's just wrong.
It is wrong. I mean, you went through a lot of this the last time you spoke about the beauty pageant thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's another very good example of I don't know, the world kind of going mad.
And we'd like to know the irony of the Celebrity Big Brother that was in our country that's not really Celebrity Big Brother.
You kind of changed that subject rather quickly.
It was won by Paddy, who was a celebrity gypsy blokey from My Big Fat Gypsy Wedding. But I didn't realise it finished last night. Tonight is the proper start of Big Brother, which has got another like 11, 12 weeks of it.
Oh, okay. So they've basically ended the celebrity one and gone in with the live one, the normal one straight away.
Yeah.
That's a bit stupid.
Yes. Everything's blooming reality TV nowadays.
Non-reality TV. It's not real.
Yeah, I know.
Reality TV, the stuff that I like watching now, are things like The Great British Bake Off.
Yes.
That's reality. Not enforced, forced, or fake reality, which is what a lot of these other shows, The X Factor, Britain's Got Talent, and all of its international variations. It's getting pathetic. Anyway, back to the real world. We have had some feedback.
Ooh.
Now, we actually had the first bit of feedback a few weeks ago, and I completely missed it, so I do apologise. We had an email from Kafka, who we played on episode 171 on the 6th of August, to say thank you for playing his track Goodnight, Goodnight RFAD. And we've also had an email from Cab20, who we played on the Bugcast 173 on the 20th of August, for playing his track Stomp. So thanks for getting in touch, guys. Our pleasure to play your music, and always has been. You would have also noticed between the two last tracks a plug from Dave Thackeray from the European Podcasting Award. Just a reminder, guys, we are up for an award. Please do go and nominate, go and vote for us.
Please, rather than
going through the inexplicably long web address that Dave tried to give us on the promo, just go to thebugcast.org/EPA, and that will direct you immediately to the voting page for the Bugcast. Apparently, I'm told you can vote once a day, but there was a two-day period where I couldn't vote again, because I'm voting for our show every day, and I think you should do as well. So, yeah, please do. It'd be nice if we won it. Do you not think?
Yes, it would be lovely.
Right.
I'm not convinced it will work, but...
Would you believe it is almost last track time?
What do you mean, almost?
Because it's almost last track time. And I tell you what, it's now last track time. So, or who is the, what, who, what, where, what is this track?
Yes, this is a band from Jemendo, which I found, from Nagyakata in Hungary. And they are called Obsidian Shell, and the song is called Orphanage.
Oh,
Oh, yes.
That was kicky.
Yes, it was. And I really liked that. And that is why I chose this for being the last track. It's from their album called Angelic Asylum.
That was far from angelic.
3 years, lots of songwriting and mixing to create this album. And it's a reflection of their souls. The reflection is pure and simple. As well as being available on Jamendo, their albums are always also available to purchase on Amazon and iTunes and all that sort of thing. So the idea being is they've got it out for free on Jamendo, but if people really like it, it's also available to pay.
Hmm.
I really liked the umphy start, the hard edge of the music, and then the nice little touch of it being a female voice.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a bit of a surprise element of it, and it works really well. You can find out more by going to obsidianshell.com, and we'll have made Doris very happy because she gets to play again.
Yes.
We really, really need to find better ways of incorporating Dorrit into the show.
Well, I think that's your job, because I think you're the only person that actually makes such a big deal about Doris's nocturnal activities.
Well,
I submitted a CC Hits track this evening, and I didn't mention Doris at all, because Doris speaks for herself in a short moment anyway. Right, next week, the Budcast episode 177 will be broadcast live in the Budcast chat room and also on Butterflies Radio at 9:30 p.m. UK time, which is 4:30 p.m. EST. I'm going to have to find a better way of saying that.
PMT?
Not BMT, no, not BMT?
PMT is...
Oh, PM, no, I know what that is. Sorry, yes, on Friday the 16th of September. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can do so by dropping us an email to feedback@thebugcast.org. Also head along to thebugcast.org/contact for more information about how you can get in contact with us using social media, social networking and such like. That is pretty much it. Thank you very much indeed for listening. Thank you for coming along to the chat room, those that are in there at the moment. It's been an absolute blast in the chat room tonight. It's been great fun. Thanks also to those guys listening on Butterflies Radio. I have been informed that there has been a fairly large number of listeners tonight, so thank you very much indeed for coming along.
Hope you weren't too mad.
Speak for yourself. Judging by the number of people that were listening from the Butterflies Radio stream and the number of people who are in the chat room, suggests that not many people were actually in the chat room this evening. So please do come along and join in the fun. Thebugcast.org/live.
We don't bite.
We don't. Well, no, you do.
Oh, no. That, you're not supposed to tell them.
Don't forget, if you want to find links for the artists and the sources where we obtained their music from, then go along to thebugcast.org, have a look for the show notes for this show, number 176, and all will be revealed there. So thank you very much indeed for coming along. Thank you for listening, and we will catch you next week.
Bye.
See ya.
Podcast submits its Creative Commons tracks to cchits.net, the site where you make the charts. If you have enjoyed these tracks, please vote for them using the links in the show notes. Or if you want to get even more involved, visit cchits.net.